Welcome to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast, the show about life on the street as a beat cop and life in the shop as a woodworker. They pull no punches and tell it like it is, so buckle in and get ready. Now, here are your hosts from Marazzo Woodworking, Mike Marazzo, and from Full House Woodworking, Brandon Silvera.
Hey, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. This is Mike Marazzo, and welcome to episode 71 of the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast. I'm by myself. I've never done a show by myself before, so I'm not really sure if you're going to like it. But if you stick around and you do, please shoot me an email at handcuffsandsawdustpodcast@gmail.com and let me know. So since I'm by myself, the main reason I wanted to do this or start doing it this way, if Brandon can't be available, is we hit a dead spot and a lull in our recording, and mainly because of me. Now, Brandon is in training this week, so he can't join us. And I didn't really want to go back to having no episodes ready. So you get me for episode 71. I'd like to thank our sponsor, SurfPrepSanding.com. For all your sanding needs, check out SurfPrepSanding.com. I am a huge proponent of SurfPrep Sanding. I own two of their electric sanders, a 5-inch orbitable, and then what's called a Ray sander, which is like a 3x5. And their pads are amazing. Their vacuum is a self-cleaning vacuum. I also have that. So I encourage everyone that's listening, if you're in the market for this kind of equipment for sanding, please check out surfprepsanding.com. Now, on to the episode. Last week when I was with Brandon, when we got to the end of our law enforcement segment, I felt bad just brushing over the names of the 25 falling officers. Normally, as you guys know, as you listen, we do a reading of the officers killed in the line of duty the week in between our recordings. So since episode 70 was the first recorded episode of 2025, there had been 25 officers killed in the line of duty since we last recorded. Actually, more, because our last episode was in November, so there were officers in December as well that died. So it is my duty to myself and to the profession to not gloss over any loss of life in this field that I was a part of for so long. So what I want to do is go over those names, departments, and how the officer died. That's important to me. And I hope it's important to you, for all of you that support law enforcement. I'm also going to go over some articles, news stories in law enforcement, and just touch on a few things and see what's been going on. I will get that from policeone.com, which is a police news source, and you can go to that website and follow along. If you're watching on YouTube, like my dad, hi, Dad, or anybody else like Marty, if you're in your shop, Marty, I'm going to try and put the screen up or share my screen so you can see pictures of the officers and read along if you wish, or just browse through. So I have never done this before on this platform, and I know this is mainly an audio-based podcast for all of you that listen in your car on your way to work, or on your way from home, or in your shop. Thank you. But there is a segment that do watch on YouTube as their main media platform for this podcast. So try not to bore everybody. Let's get to the name of the officers killed in the line of duty in 2025. And actually, I'm going to see if I can't share my screen here. I started to, and it said, you have to give permission. Well, I've given permission in my settings. So let's check this out and see what happens. Oh, there we go. All right. So the 2025 honor roll of heroes begins now. First up, is Lieutenant Mark Meadows from the Irondale Police Department in Alabama. End of watch was Monday, January 6th, 2025. Lieutenant Mark Meadows was struck and killed by a motorist while directing traffic at Grants Mill Road and Overton Road in Irondale. Shortly before 7 a.m., Lieutenant Meadows was putting out cones when he was hit. He was transported to Grandview Medical Center, where he succumbed to his injuries. Lieutenant Meadows was a United States Army veteran. He had served with the Irondale Police Department for 30 years and previously served with the Mountain Brook Police Department. He is survived by his wife, children, and two grandchildren. Lieutenant Meadows was 60 years old with a total of 33 years of law enforcement service. Deputy Sheriff Timothy Corlew, Riverside County Sheriff's Department in California. End of watch Wednesday, January 8th, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Tim Corlew was killed in a motorcycle crash at 5:30 a.m. on California 91, east of La Sierra Avenue in Riverside. While traveling westbound in the HOV lane, Deputy Corlew's patrol motorcycle collided with a vehicle, ejecting him from his motorcycle. He was transported to Riverside Community Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased. Deputy Corlew had served with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department for 8 years, assigned to the Jurupa Valley Sheriff's Station. He is survived by his wife and two children. He was 40 years old. His badge number was 5569. Deputy Sheriff Jesus Vargas, Brazoria County Sheriff's Office in Texas. End of watch Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Jesus Vargas was shot and killed while serving a warrant at Stella Link Road, north of Interstate 610 in Houston at 11:30 a.m. When Deputy Vargas and his partner approached the subject fired at deputies from his vehicle. Deputy Vargas was transported to the Ben Taub Hospital, where he succumbed to his wounds. The suspect, who was a repeat shitbag offender, fled the scene. When a U.S. Marshals Service canine located the suspect hiding in a dumpster, the suspect fired multiple shots at the canine. A responding officer returned fire, killing the suspect. The canine suffered two bullet wounds to the neck and nose and is in stable condition. Deputy Vargas had served with the Brazoria County Sheriff's Office for 17 years. He also served with the United States Marshals Gulf Coast Violent Offender Task Force. He is survived by his wife and three children. Deputy Vargas was 41 years old. They do not have his badge number available. Sergeant Mark Butler of the Navasota Police Department in Texas. End of watch, January 15th, 2025. Sergeant Mark Butler was killed in a head-on collision during a pursuit on Highway 6 near Farm to Market 3090 in Navasota. When College Station officers confronted a female suspect attempting to cash fraudulent checks at a bank, the suspect fled southbound on Highway 6. At the FM 2154 ramp, the suspect exited Highway 6 and re-entered the highway, traveling south at speeds of over 100 miles an hour in the northbound lanes. At 3:25 p.m., Sergeant Butler, who was traveling northbound, maneuvered his marked patrol vehicle and collided with the suspect, preventing her from hitting other motorists on the highway. He was transported to CHI St. Joseph Hospital, Grimes Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries. The suspect was killed at the scene. Sergeant Butler was a United States Army veteran and had served with the Navasota Police Department for almost 4 years. He is survived by his wife and two children. He was 34 years old. His badge number was 9306. All for fraudulent checks. Border Patrol Agent David Christopher Milland, United States Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection. David Christopher Milland was shot and killed during a traffic stop on Interstate 91 near Newport, Vermont, near the Canadian border at 3:15 p.m. One suspect was shot and killed, and the second suspect was injured. She is in federal custody. Agent Milland was a United States Air Force veteran and had served with the United States Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection for over 9 years. He was assigned to the Swanton sector. He is survived by his mother, father, brother, and girlfriend. He was 44 years old. No badge number available. Officer Baldino Morales Sanchez of the Mayagüez Municipal Police Department in Puerto Rico. End of watch was Saturday, January 25th, 2025. Officer Baldino Morales Sanchez was killed in a motorcycle crash shortly before 2 a.m. in Puerto Rico. He was completing his shift at a municipal festival when he was involved in a single vehicle crash. Officer Morales Sanchez had served with the Mayagüez Municipal Police Department for 20 years, and he had previously served with the Anasco Municipal Police Department. He was 62 years old with a total of 28 years served. Officer Jason Roscoe, North Las Vegas Police Department in Nevada. End of watch was Thursday, February 4th, 2025. Officer Jason Roscoe was shot and killed while responding to a report of a subject brandishing a gun at a resident near the 4700 block of High Creek in North Las Vegas around 2:15 p.m. When Officer Roscoe attempted to make contact with the subject, the man ignored him and fled. After locating the man, the subject refused commands and fired at Officer Roscoe. Officer Roscoe returned fire, killing the subject. Officer Roscoe was transported to the University Medical Center, where he succumbed to his multiple gunshot wounds. Officer Roscoe was a United States Air Force veteran and had served at the North Las Vegas Police Department for 17 years. He is survived by two sons. He was 46 years old, and his badge number is P-Paul 2090. Police Officer Jeremy R. Labonte, Roswell Police Department in Georgia. End of watch was February 7th, 2025. Police Officer Jeremy Labonte was shot and killed while responding to a suspicious person reported at a shopping center at 1425 Market Boulevard in Roswell around 7:15 p.m. When Officer Labonte arrived at the shopping center, he encountered the subject near the Ace Pickleball Club. While the officer approached the subject for questioning, the man produced a handgun and fired at Officer Labonte multiple times. Officers responding to 911 calls arrived quickly and took the subject into custody. Officer Labonte was taken to a local hospital where he succumbed to his wounds. The suspect faces charges of murder, aggravated assault against a law enforcement officer, and a weapons charge. Officer Labonte had served with the Roswell Police Department for over 3 years. He is survived by his wife, parents, two sisters, nephew, and grandparents. He was 24 years old. His badge number was 853. Trooper Kyle McCasey, Nebraska State Patrol. End of watch Monday, February 17th, 2025. Trooper McCasey was struck and killed by a snowplow while at the scene of a traffic crash on eastbound Interstate 80 between Ashland and Greenwood. Around 10 a.m., Trooper McCasey was standing outside his patrol car when an approaching snowplow hit him during a snowstorm. Other troopers provided aid, but he succumbed to his injuries at the scene. Trooper McCasey had served with the Nebraska State Patrol for 10 years. He is survived by his fiance. He was 31 years old. His badge number is 302. Patrolman Andrew William Duarte, West York Borough Police Department, Pennsylvania. End of watch, Saturday, February 22nd, 2025. Patrolman Andrew Duarte was shot and killed while responding to reports of an active shooter at the UPMC Memorial Hospital on Innovation Drive and Roosevelt Avenue in York at 10:43 a.m. A subject entered the UPMC Memorial Hospital, ICU, on Saturday morning, and after learning the woman he lived with had died, he pulled out a gun and started firing, striking a doctor and other hospital workers. He continued to threaten hospital employees and took a few hostages. When officers arrived at the scene, the subject shot at officers and ordered them to retreat. Despite efforts to talk to the shooter, he refused to engage. When he emerged from the ICU, he was holding a female nurse hostage whose hands were bound with zip ties at gunpoint. Unknown to officers on the scene, the subject was out of ammunition and his gun was empty. When the subject refused to release his hostage, officers fired. Two bullets struck Patrolman Duarte, mortally wounding him. Friendly fire. During the standoff, the subject called his brother and shared his situation, stating that he was ready to die. Four hospital employees were injured. Two were shot and two received other injuries. Two law enforcement officers were shot. And a third was wounded by shrapnel. In 2021, Patrolman Duarte received a Hero Award from Mothers Against Drunk Driving for his work in enforcing impaired driving in Colorado. Patrolman Duarte had served with the West York Borough Police Department for over 2 years and previously served with the Denver Police Department for 5 years. He is survived by his mother and father. He was 30 years old. Badge number 1818. Police Officer Cameron Robert Gervin, Virginia Beach Police Department in Virginia. End of watch, Saturday, February 22nd, 2025. Police Officer Cameron Gervin and Police Officer Chris Reese were shot while conducting a traffic stop at Sylvan Court at approximately 11:30 p.m. Friday evening. While on patrol, Officer Gervin and Officer Reese observed a car with an expired plate and executed a traffic stop. During the traffic stop, the officers asked the subject to exit the vehicle, and the subject refused. When finally exiting the vehicle, the subject tussled with the officers and immediately produced a pistol, shooting both Officer Gervin and Officer Reese. While the officers were incapacitated and on the ground, the subject shot each officer a second time and then fled the scene. The subject was found in a shed near the initial scene with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. First responders attempted life-saving procedures and both officers were transported to local hospitals. Officer Gervin succumbed to his wounds at 4:30 a.m. Saturday morning. Officer Reese had succumbed to his wounds just after midnight at Princess Anne Hospital. Officer Gervin had served with the Virginia Beach Police Department for 5 years. He is survived by his expectant wife and parents. He was 25 years old. Officer Reese is survived. It doesn't say. Officer Reese was 30 years old. He had 6 years of service. Deputy Sergeant Martin Shields, Jr. of Hinds County Sheriff's Office in Mississippi. End of watch Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Martin Shields was shot and killed while responding to a domestic call at the 15,000 block of Midway Road in Terry. A female requested help in retrieving her belongings from a home. When Deputy Shields and another deputy arrived on the scene, a man inside the house fired at them. The suspect also shot his wife and another female trying to flee the home. The women were transported to a local hospital and are in stable condition. When responding officers entered the home, the suspect was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He had a lengthy criminal history. 7 felony arrests and 18 misdemeanor arrests with 0 convictions. Are you kidding me? Deputy Shields had served with the Hinds County Sheriff's Office for 9 months and had previously served with the Mississippi Department of Corrections and the Jackson Police Department. He is survived by his wife and daughter. His father had also served with the Hinds County Sheriff's Office. He was 37 years old. Police Officer Felicia D. Riley of the St. Paul Police Department in Minnesota. End of watch was Saturday, March 1st, 2025. Police Officer Felicia Riley succumbed to injuries she received after responding to a 911 hang-up call at a residence in the 1600 block of Birmingham Street in St. Paul on March 24th, 2010. When Officer Riley arrived at the home, she was invited inside and was notified that the elderly couple's son was threatening them. As Officer Riley approached the subject, he began to attack her. She used her taser to subdue him, but he kept swinging and punching her in the face. Despite being tased, the man punched her again, and she fell to the floor where the man proceeded to kick her in the head multiple times. Officer Riley stood up and attempted to subdue the subject, chasing him outside the home. After responding, officers helped Officer Riley restrain the subject. She was transported to the hospital for her injuries, where she was diagnosed with traumatic brain injury. Throughout the years, she suffered from permanent double vision, chronic migraine headaches, light sensitivity, nausea, and a decrease in cognitive functioning, forcing her to retire from the department. She passed away on March 1st from her injuries. The subject was found guilty of assault, not attempted murder, and sentenced to 8.5 years in prison in 2015. He is unable to be charged with her murder due to the double jeopardy clause in the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution. Officer Riley had served with the St. Paul Police Department for 17 years. She is survived by her husband, 3 sons, 2 daughters, 2 sisters, and grandchildren. She was 67 years old. Sergeant Joseph Anthony Ascania, Newark Police Division in New Jersey. End of watch, March 8th, 2025. Sergeant Ascania was shot and killed while investigating illegal weapons possession at the corner of Carteret Street and Broadway in Newark. At 6:37 p.m., Sergeant Ascania and another officer arrived at the intersection of Carteret Street and Broadway to question a subject about possible weapons possessions. The subject began firing on the officers immediately, and both officers were struck while still in their vehicle. At least 18 shots were reported near the White Castle at the intersection. When responding officers arrived, they discovered Detective Ascania and the other officer both wounded. Both officers were transported to the University Hospital, where Sergeant Ascania succumbed to his wounds at 2:30 a.m. The other officer was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. 5 juveniles were taken into custody. A 14-year-old who was injured was charged with weapons possession and murder. 14. Sergeant Ascania had served with the Newark Police Division for 5 years, the last 2 as a detective. He is survived by his mother, father, and 5 siblings. He was posthumously promoted to sergeant. He was 26 years old. Deputy Sheriff Hector Cuevas Jr., San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department in California. End of watch, Monday, March 17th, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Hector Cuevas was killed when his patrol car struck a pole at the intersection of El Evado and Seneca Roads just before 11 a.m. Deputy Cuevas was in pursuit of a stolen vehicle that had been reported to his department just minutes earlier. During the high-speed chase, Deputy Sheriff Cuevas' vehicle collided with another car and then a nearby power pole. The impact of the crash split the patrol vehicle in half, critically injuring Deputy Sheriff Cuevas. Although first responders rushed to administer aid, he passed away at the scene. The driver of the other vehicle was taken to a nearby hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of the stolen vehicle was apprehended a short time later and is in custody, charged with vehicular manslaughter while intoxicated, evading a police officer, and causing death or serious injury. He had a history of evading law enforcement and a lengthy criminal record for vehicular thefts. Deputy Sheriff Cuevas had served with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department for 6 years. He is survived by his wife, 2 children, his parents, and his brother and sister. He was 36 years old, and his badge number was 3180. Sergeant Grant J. Candies, St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office, Louisiana. End of watch was Sunday, March 23rd, 2025. Sergeant Grant Candies was killed by the driver fleeing a traffic stop on Interstate 10 near the Oak Harbor exit. The driver was driving recklessly without a tag on the car when a deputy attempted to stop the vehicle. When the driver refused to stop and continued to drive at speeds of 85 to 90 miles an hour while swerving on the roads, a pursuit ensued. Just after midnight, Sergeant Candies was deploying a spike strip to assist with stopping the vehicle pursuit when he was struck and killed by the suspects. The suspects, all juveniles, continued to evade Parish deputies on Interstate 10 into the Orleans Parish, where their vehicle crashed into a New Orleans Police Department unit near Crowder Boulevard at approximately 12:30 a.m. All suspects were apprehended, and the driver was charged with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, and aggravated flight. 2 other juveniles have been charged with first-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder. The New Orleans Police Department officer in the unit struck by the suspects was injured, but was treated for non-life-threatening injuries and released from the hospital. Sergeant Candies was a United States Marine Corps veteran and had served with the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office, for 9 years. In 2023, he saved two lives and was named the Parish Sheriff's Office Deputy of the Year. He is survived by his wife, two children, mother, father, three sisters, and a brother. He was 37 years old. Police Officer Osmar Rodarte of the Marysville Police Department in California. End of watch, Wednesday, March 26th, 2025. Police Officer Osmar Rodarte was shot and killed while serving a search warrant at Crestrell Court in Olivehurst at 7:50 a.m. Law enforcement officers were serving 20 drug trafficking search warrants through the Yuba, Sutter, Tehama, and Butte counties to stop a transitional drug trafficking ring from Mexico through the United States. When the Sutter regional SWAT team entered the home on Crestrell Court, the suspect opened fire and gunfire was exchanged. Officer Rodarte was struck in the ensuing gunfire. Officer Rodarte was transported to Adventist Health and Rideout Hospital, where he succumbed to his wounds. The suspect, a convicted felon, was shot and killed at the scene. Officer Rodarte was a United States Army veteran and had served with the Marysville Police Department for 2 years. He is survived by his wife and child. He was 27 years old. Deputy Sheriff William May, Walton County Sheriff's Office in Florida. End of watch was Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. Deputy Sheriff William May was shot and killed while responding to a disturbance at a Dollar General Market in Dufferin Springs. Around 2 p.m., Deputy May arrived at the store, and after talking to the subject, he decided to escort the man out of the store and not arrest him. As soon as they exited the building, the man pulled out a gun and shot Deputy May a few times. Deputy May returned fire and was able to call for backup. Deputy May was transported to North Okaloosa Medical Center with multiple gunshot wounds. One of the bullets went underneath his bulletproof vest, and he passed away 4 hours later. The suspect died at the scene. Deputy May was working an overtime shift and was on his way home when he took the disturbance call. He had served with the Walton County Sheriff's Office for over 11 years, the last of which were as a law enforcement officer. He is survived by his wife, four children, and parents. His mother and father retired from the Walton County Sheriff's Office. He was 38 years old. Deputy Sheriff Melissa Pollard, Wood County Sheriff's Office in Texas. End of watch, Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Melissa Pollard was killed when her cruiser collided with the back of a semi-truck at the intersection of FM-14 and State Highway 37S between Quitman and Winsboro at approximately 10 a.m. Deputy Sheriff Pollard succumbed to her injuries at UT Health Quitman. The driver of the semi-truck was not injured. Deputy Pollard had served with the Wood County Sheriff's Office for over 8 years and had previously served with the Fannin County Sheriff's Office for 3 years and the Collin County Sheriff's Office for 10 years. She is survived by her daughter, two sisters, her partner, and three grandchildren. She was 27 years old. Did I say 27 years old? She was 47 years old. Captain Helio Armando Garcia III, South Fulton Police Department in Georgia. End of watch was Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. Captain Helio Garcia was killed when his patrol car was struck by another vehicle at approximately 11:30 p.m. on Flat Shoals Road, close to Connell Road. Captain Garcia was on patrol when a vehicle veered into his lane and hit his patrol car head-on. Captain Garcia was taken to Grady Memorial Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries earlier the next morning. The driver of the other vehicle remains in serious condition as of April 15th. Captain Garcia was a United States Marine Corps veteran who had served with the South Fulton Police Department for over 6 years. He had previously served with the College Park Police Department and the Holly Springs Police Department and was instrumental in forming the South Fulton Police Department. He is survived by his wife, two daughters, a son, his mother, his father, and two brothers. He was posthumously promoted to captain. He was 47 years old. 15 years of duty. Deputy Sheriff Jesse Perez of the Dawson County Sheriff's Office in Texas. End of watch was Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Jesse Perez was killed when debris from a commercial vehicle struck him during a vehicle stop on West U.S. Highway 180 in La Mesa. He succumbed to his injuries at the hospital. Deputy Perez had served with the Dawson County Sheriff's Office for 8 months. He is survived by his wife, 3 daughters, a son, mother, 2 brothers, a sister, and a grandson. He was 42 years old. 8 months of duty. Deputy Sheriff Brandon Ray Sykes, Columbia County Sheriff's Office in Georgia. End of watch, Saturday, April 26, 2025. Deputy Sheriff Brandon Sykes was shot and killed during an attempted traffic stop just before exit 194 on Interstate 20 near Augusta at approximately 6:30 p.m. Deputy Sykes and 3 other deputies were serving a domestic violence protective order on the subject. At first, the man was compliant and non-threatening, but when deputies turned away, he fired at them with a 9mm AR pistol. Deputy Sykes was mortally wounded. Another deputy was shot in the face. 2 deputies returned fire. 1 of the deputies gathered the injured deputy through a barrage of gunfire and transported him to the hospital where he was in critical condition. The suspect attempted to flee in his camper, but was stopped on the highway. Hours later, drones found the suspect dead inside his camper with pipe bombs, firearms, and ammunition. Deputy Sykes was a United States Army veteran and had served with the Columbia County Sheriff's Office for over 6 years. He is survived by his wife, who also serves with the agency, a daughter, parents, 3 brothers, nieces, and a nephew. He was 31 years old. His badge number was 608. Special Deputy Sheriff Larry Henderson Jr. of the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office in Ohio. End of watch Friday, May 2nd, 2025. Special Deputy Sheriff Larry Henderson was intentionally struck and killed by a driver while directing traffic at the intersection of Martin Luther King Drive and Burnett Woods Drive in Cincinnati. At 1 p.m., Deputy Henderson was providing traffic control and monitoring the traffic signal box near the University of Cincinnati for the commencement ceremonies. While standing on the sidewalk, a driver deliberately drove his vehicle into Deputy Henderson. Deputy Henderson was transported to the UC Medical Center where he succumbed to his injuries. The driver who had recently viewed body camera footage of his son being shot and killed after fleeing in a stolen vehicle armed with a handgun was arrested and charged with aggravated murder. Deputy Henderson was a United States Marine Corps veteran and had served with the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office for 33 years. He is survived by his wife and 5 children. 2 of Deputy Henderson's uncles and 4 cousins also served in law enforcement. He was 57 years old. Badge number 129. And Lieutenant Alan Nucci Credor of the Rain Police Department in Louisiana. End of watch was Monday, May 5th, 2025. Lieutenant Nucci Credor was shot and killed by a friendly fire while serving a search warrant at the 500 block of East Harrop Street in Rain. It could be Rainy. It's R-A-Y-N-E. At 1:27, Lieutenant Credor was attempting to locate a suspect wanted for attempted murder in a stabbing incident when he was hit by friendly fire. Despite life-saving measures, Lieutenant Credor succumbed to his wounds at the scene. Lieutenant Credor had served with the Rain Police Department for over 20 years. He is survived by his brother and fiancé. He was 49 years old. We are now going to mention the canine officers who were killed in the line of duty since the beginning of the year. The first one is K9 Kea from the Streetsboro Police Department in Ohio. End of watch was Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. K9 Kea was struck and killed by a passing motorist on SO 303. At 5:35 p.m., K9 Kaya exited the patrol vehicle to stretch his legs in an area west of Streetsboro Police Department. While chasing a ball 600 feet away from the roadway, Canine Kaya unexpectedly redirected and crossed onto SR 303, where a vehicle passing by hit him. He was transported to Metropolitan Veterinary Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries an hour later. The driver stayed at the scene and cooperated with the authorities. Canine Kaya had served with the Streetsboro Police Department for almost 9 years. He died 3 days before his 9th birthday. He was a Belgian Malinois. His tour of duty was 8 years, 11 months. Canine Macho of the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, Louisiana. End of watch was Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. Canine Macho suffered a fatal heart attack while after apprehending a suspect who was wanted on outstanding warrants at the 2000 block of Estelate Avenue in Harvey. Canine Macho and the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office SWAT team were assisting the United States Marshal Service in serving an arrest warrant on a wanted fugitive. When the suspect refused to exit the home, drones and robots were sent into the house during the standoff. As soon as the suspect was located hiding inside a box spring in one of the bedrooms, Canine Macho was sent in to apprehend the suspect. Around 10:50 a.m., Canine Macho seized the suspect by biting him to keep him in place until other SWAT team members could apprehend the man. During the apprehension, Canine Macho's handler noticed something was off and removed him from the suspect. Canine Macho collapsed and CPR was performed. Despite resuscitation attempts, Canine Macho was unable to be revived. The suspect was then taken into custody. Canine Macho had served with the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office for 6 years. He had more than 200 deployments and made more than 100 apprehensions. He was a Belgian Malinois, 8 years old, suffered a heart attack. Canine Roxy, the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office in Florida, end of watch Saturday, February 1st, 2025. Canine Roxy succumbed to injuries she received in a vehicle crash during a pursuit of a wanted felon. When deputies attempted to initiate a traffic stop, the suspect continued driving, and a pursuit ensued. At Northwest 72nd Street and Northwest 1st Avenue, the suspect intentionally struck the canine SUV, crashing the vehicle into a concrete wall. Canine Roxy was transported to an emergency veterinarian hospital, where she died 2 days later. The suspect was arrested and charged with trafficking fentanyl, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer, fleeing and eluding, causing injury, possession of a controlled substance with the intent to sell, possession of THC, and resisting an officer with violence. Canine Roxy had served with the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office for over 7 months. She was a Labrador Retriever. We don't have her age, but she served for 7 years and 9 months. They don't give the age of female officer dogs like they don't give the age of females. That's interesting. Canine Preacher, Maine State Police in Maine, end of watch was Tuesday, February 4th, 2025. Canine Preacher succumbed to gunshot wounds he received while pursuing a fleeing domestic suspect on Ranger Street in Portage Lake, Maine. Law enforcement responded to a report of a domestic situation and convinced the subject to talk to them outside of the home. As officers attempted to arrest the suspect, he pulled out a gun and fired at officers, striking an Aroostook County Sheriff's deputy in the shoulder. The suspect was able to barricade himself in the home despite hours of negotiations. When the suspect attempted to escape, his vehicle was disabled, so he fled on foot with Canine Preacher in pursuit. The suspect fired at Canine Preacher, hitting him in the abdomen. A Maine State Police officer trooper returned fire, killing the suspect. The deputy was taken to a local hospital for treatment and was released. The Canine Preacher was transported to an emergency veterinary hospital and survived surgery, but he passed away the following morning. Canine Preacher had served with the Maine State Police for over 1 year. He was a Belgian Malinois, 4 years old. Canine Ozzy, or Azi, of the McKinney Police Department, Texas, End of watch, March 13th, 2025. Canine Aziz was shot and killed while attempting to apprehend a subject who had barricaded himself in a hotel room at the Red Roof Inn at 1300 North Central Expressway in McKinney. Around 2:44 p.m., McKinney officers responded to a shooting call and discovered a female had been shot. The suspect barricaded himself in a hotel room and threatened to shoot everyone. When the suspect exited the room about 30 minutes later, Canine Aziz was deployed to apprehend him. The suspect pulled out his gun and shot Canine Aziz, fatally wounding him. Responding officers returned fire, hitting the suspect. The suspect succumbed to his wounds at the hospital. The female victim was transported to a local hospital and is in stable condition. Canine Aziz was taken to an urgent care vet clinic but passed away. Canine Aziz had served with the McKinney Police Department for 1 year and 4 months. He was a Belgian Malinois. I don't know if I'm saying that properly. He was 2 years old. Canine Blitz of the Wadesboro Police Department in North Carolina. End of watch was Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. Canine Blitz was shot while apprehending a suspect who fled from officers during a traffic stop. Officers attempted to stop a vehicle on U.S. Highway 74 for fictitious plates. The driver fled, leading to a pursuit that lasted over 20 miles. When the suspect's vehicle's tires were blown in Mount Gilead, the suspect attempted to flee on foot. Canine Blitz was deployed to apprehend the man. After the suspect was captured, Canine Blitz became more aggressive and was tased and pepper sprayed. When Canine Blitz attacked a third officer and would not let go, he was shot. Oh my God. The suspect, who had warrants out for his arrest, surprise, was charged with assaulting a law enforcement agency animal, eluding arrest, assault with a deadly weapon, multiple drug possession charges, and traffic violations. Canine Blitz had served with the Wadesboro Police Department for 2 months. He was a German Shepherd. Do not know his age. Canine Chico of the Bourne Police Department in Texas. End of watch was Thursday, April 10th, 2025. Canine Chico was struck and killed by a hit-and-run driver on Interstate 10 East at 12:50 a.m. Canine Chico and his handler had completed a traffic stop with a canine deployment on the Interstate 10 frontage road. After Canine Chico was secured in his patrol cage, his handler started to pull out of the parking lot, unaware that the door mechanism and safety feature had malfunctioned. Canine Chico jumped out of the patrol car and ran onto Interstate 10, where he was struck by a vehicle that did not stop. The safety feature should have alerted the handler that the door did not close properly. An investigation into the malfunction has been started. Canine Chico had served with the Bourne Police Department for over a year. He was a Belgian Malinois, and he was 5 years old. Canine Knox of the Roanoke City Police Department in Virginia. End of watch, Friday, April 18th, 2025. Canine Knox was struck and killed during a pursuit of a stolen vehicle around 1:40 a.m. Officers attempted to stop the driver of a stolen vehicle at a gas station on Melrose Avenue, Northwest. The suspect fled the scene, and a short pursuit ensued. When the car stopped on the 4200 block of Vermont Avenue, Northwest, the driver ran from the scene. Canine Knox was then deployed to apprehend the suspect. As Canine Knox was in pursuit, another police vehicle struck him. Canine Knox was transported to emergency veterinary services, where he passed away from his injuries. The suspect, a convicted felon with outstanding warrants, fled the scene and has not yet been apprehended. The passenger in the stolen vehicle is in custody with outstanding warrants. Canine Knox had served with the Roanoke City Police Department for almost 2 years. He was a German Shepherd and 3 years old. And Canine Kai, Bristol Police Department in Tennessee. End of watch, Thursday, April 24th, 2025. Canine Kai succumbed to heat stroke after completing his annual certification training at 361 Exide Drive in Bristol. When Canine Kai became overheated during training at 5:30 p.m., attempts were made to cool him down, but he collapsed. Canine Kai was transported to an emergency clinic where his condition continued to deteriorate. He passed away the following day. K-9 Kai had served with the Bristol Police Department for 7 years. Kai had completed 1,691 hours of training, conducted 175 explosive searches, and was responsible for 21 suspect apprehensions. He was also called to assist federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies throughout the region 57 times. He was a Belgian Malinois. He was 8 years old and pretty much a badass. We are now all caught up with all of the officers killed in the line of duty, including canine officers. Thank you for putting up with that and giving me your attention, even though I did flub a couple of times while reading those. So I was perusing the interweb for stories, and I came across a few that looked pretty interesting over on policeone.com news. So I was watching the video on here, second of it, but as you watch this video, it's paused. Some guy walks into this gym and shoots a bunch of people. I'm watching the video, and we're at about the 4:46 mark. There's a guy leaving the gym with a water bottle, and in comes the suspect with a rifle, and it looks like he's got combat pants on and boots and pockets full. The guy walking out, how do you not notice a guy walking in with a rifle? I don't know if this guy ended up calling the police, but the detectives learned that this guy was 34-year-old Ortega, North Las Vegas, armed with an Olympic Arms PCR 223 rifle. At 1:30 in the afternoon, walked into the front desk area. He paced around the area. He had the weapon on him. Several people inside the business fled. An employee approached him, and the two briefly exchanged words. And then one of the employees fled, and Ortega fired, striking him, and then continued to fire. Walked toward the front doors, continuing to fire rounds. At some point, his weapon malfunctioned. And shortly after, he encountered the officers at the entrance. A video provided by Metro shows officers fire upon him as he runs past them. So that was an interesting article that first took my attention. Mainly just the guy walking out after a workout sees a guy coming in with a rifle. Maybe he thought, thank God my workout's over. But I don't know if he actually called the police or not. What else we got over here? Yeah, well, Trump awards Medal of Sacrifice to Florida deputies killed in a crash. Palm Beach County, Deputy Ignacio Diaz, Corporal Luis Paez, and Deputy Ralph Waller were killed when an SUV struck their motorcycles while they were stopped on the roadside. We'll most likely have those in next week's or the following week's Officer Down Memorial read. They were honored by President Trump on Monday with the first ever Medal of Sacrifice, a newly created honor from the White House for first responders who die in the line of duty. Trump, his son Eric Trump, and U.S. Representative Brian Mast, who represents Northern Palm Beach, announced the new honor in the Oval Office with the relatives of the officers who were killed in attendance. God bless Donald Trump for supporting law enforcement. I like that, police heroes. We used to do the hero of the week, hero of the month. And I miss doing that. And I don't know why we got away from it, but I would look for some good stories about just men and women in law enforcement doing their job and not getting noticed. And we'd have a hero of the week and a badass of the week. So I miss doing that. I'll see if I can get back to doing that. Now we just finished Police Week, and here is a poem, Between the Monsters and the Weak. Poet Michael Marx pens a moving tribute to the men and women of law enforcement, and maybe just remind the few, if ill of us they speak, that we are all that stands between the monsters and the weak. If you don't mind, this appears to be a very short poem, and I'd like to read it to you. Between the monsters and the weak, in silent rows of blue and gold, they stood beneath the rain that fell to earth like angels' tears amid this sad refrain. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the notes hung on the air. A last goodbye, a muffled cry, a word of whispered prayer. And as beneath the flag, I go to take my final rest, my duty done, I leave you one, a lingering request. To raise a glass in memory of all the good I've done, to now and then tell stories of the races that I won. Go start with all the bad guys, ones we lost and ones we caught, of daring do heroics too, the battles that we fought. But then recall with laughter all the mishaps we created, the flubs and goofs, the pranks and spoofs, their telling oft inflated. But given time, let stories turn to things that really mattered, the ones we served who need us most, the broken and the battered. Those who call in fear of violent spouse or muggers on the street, and those stranded on a highway in a night of snow and sleet. Don't feel the need to mention all the burdens that we carried, the awful sights and sound and smells, the echoes we keep buried. Just the price we pay to be the ones who charge the fray, to rush into the worst of times when others run away. It doesn't matter when or where, it matters not the danger. We race as though to help a friend when called on by a stranger. And maybe just remind the few, if ill of us they speak, that we are all that stands between the monsters and the weak. Michael Marks, October of 2021. Wow. I might have to, I think I'm going to copy that and then put that in a Word document and then engrave that onto a, piece of wood. Because, you know, I make things out of wood on occasion when I'm actually in my shop, not just in the shop right now, but working in the shop, which I think I'm going to get back to doing relatively soon. So I wanted to also let you know, we did have someone send an email to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast at gmail.com, which you guys can do if you have a question for us. And it was Mark Lowendorf, who I had mentioned in last week's episode. So Mark, I got your email. I'm actually going to reply to you now and after I'm off the air. And we will read your question when Brandon's back on the show. You sent two questions, and I look forward to reading them on the air. So thank you for your contribution to the show. We greatly appreciate it. Now, if we can, I would like to transition into what's going on. In this past week, since Brandon and I spoke, there was something that I wanted to tell Brandon about last week that I forgot about, and I will get to that next week when I see him, because I don't want to ruin the surprise. But I have been offered a position with a buddy of mine who retired from my police department, and he now is part owner in a boxing gym who's teaming up with an MMA gym. So I got an exciting opportunity I want to work on. I'll let you guys know. It's not fighting, for God's sakes, but I hope it works out, and I'll have more details on it next week when Brandon joins me. I also have some guests lined up that we're going to have on the show. And one of them is Steve Mosley. If you're into woodworking and you're on Instagram, these are people that you would know. Steve is from Making at Home. And then there is an organization on Instagram that just reached out to me recently. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I believe it's Blue Wives Matter. Blue Wives Matter. And it's women, spouses of fallen officers. And it's a great organization from what I've read so far. And we're going to have them on the show at some point. I want them to be able to tell their story. And I would like to bring more law enforcement people on the show as guests in the future as well. I know since I'm not participating in law enforcement anymore, I still have stuff that's happened that I haven't spoke about. And when it comes up in conversation with Brandon, that's fine. But I don't feel like I can contribute that much to the show anymore if I don't have my experiences to draw on. So I got that going on. We'll have some guests coming up. Also, this past week, I know I mentioned to Brandon, but after our podcast aired, I received my substitute teaching license for the state of Illinois. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I have some friends that are like, what are you going to teach? How do you want to deal with these kids? What are you going to do with these kids? All these kids suck. No one wants to listen. And that may be true. I don't know. I haven't been to school in a long time, but I still think I want to pursue that avenue. I need something to do, guys, really. What else? I went yesterday to have lunch with my good friend, Art Anderson. Art and I went to high school together, and he actually is a woodworker himself, but for the last 20 years or 30 years, Art has been involved with horses. He owns a horse, and then he got hired to run the farm of this company called Mainstay Farm. And they have horses on the property. He has his horse there. They have donkeys and miniatures and goats and rabbits. And the organization brings special needs people to the farm to interact with the animals. They get to ride the horses. They get to pet the animals. So I went yesterday to have lunch with him, checked out his wood shop, and then he gave me a tour of the grounds. I got to meet his horse. I got to meet a whole bunch of other horses. I haven't been around horses a lot. My wife used to ride when she was a teenager. She rides very well. She's always wanted a horse. So I took some video for her. One of the horses, his name is King. He's like 18 hands tall. Unbelievably beautiful horse. Art's horse is called Picasso, and he's actually missing his right eye. His eye was injured or had gotten, like a detached retina some years ago, and they actually removed the eye. And they don't put like a fake eye in there. It's just a hole. It's actually pretty weird. But he was all the way on the other end of the pasture, and I said to Art, I kept asking him, where's your horse? And he's like, take it easy. I'll show you. Relax. So we get out there to the corral where he's at, and he had to be about probably 100 yards away. And so he starts calling him, and I'm like, come on, man, that horse ain't going to come up to you. And sure enough, the horse hears him and turns and comes running up, trotting up to the fence. And then I got to pet him, and he's like sticking his head in my chest. And so they have volunteer needs at the farm. So I met the woman who's the volunteer coordinator, and I told her to expect a application email to her by the end of this week. So I'm hoping to get that in. I'd like to volunteer once a week up there, help Art build stuff for the place, and maybe in the future, if I can, learn how to do the grooming of the horses and stuff and take them for walks and all that kind of stuff. That'd be kind of cool. And this farm happens to be north of me an hour. And north of me by 30 minutes is the Harley Davidson dealer where I bought my Harley last November of 23. I bought a 2017 Street Glide Special. And my wife bought a 1200 Sportster low from the same dealership. Lately, I can't ride yet because of my back surgery. So I actually moved the bike around the other day. My bike is very heavy, and I'm a small dude. It's like almost nearly 900 pounds, like 850 pounds, if not a little bit more, if you got stuff in the bags and stuff. And I had a couple close scares on it last year and never felt comfortable on the bike. So I've been hemming and hawing about getting rid of it. I was looking online, looking at Indian, looking at some Harleys, and my good friend Bill, who listens to the podcast and actually just tried calling me, Bill had mentioned a Heritage Softail. So I had to drive past this Harley dealership to get to the farm. And on the way home, I'm like, screw it. It was like 4 o'clock. I pull in the parking lot and I just wanted to go in and see what they had. And I've been in that store so many times now because they have parties and they invite everyone who rides and you go up there and they have lunches and all this cool stuff. So I knew some of the guys, and I actually ran into the guy who sold me my bike. And he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm not very comfortable on my motorcycle and thinking about downsizing. So I actually found a 2019 Heritage Classic. Beautiful, black. It's got white walls. I mean, this thing's, it's got a few extras on it that the guy put on it. It's got 3,200 miles. And he's like, hey, you want to run some numbers? And I'm like, I'm in my truck. I drove here. He's like, you got a VIN? I'm like, yeah, I got pictures. I took pictures of my bike. I sent them to my other buddy, Mike, to see if someone would want to buy it. And that's the worst thing about selling a motorcycle. You can take it to a dealer and actually get robbed. Story coming up. Or you can try and sell it to a stranger and not let them ride it. And then they have to pay you cash before they take it because you don't want to let someone test ride your bike and then they fall off it because then, no, I don't want to buy it now. So all that stuff. I did sell my Honda. It was bank owned, so I was making payments on it. When I advertised it, this was 3 years ago, I put in the ad, if you want to ride the bike, go to a dealer, test ride it, one of those, but you're not test riding the motorcycle. And that went well. That bank, her bank, contacted my bank. So there was no fake checks, nobody ripping anybody off. They came with a trailer. They never test rode it. They put it on the trailer and drove away. And Bill's actually wanting to sell his motorcycle. This is a full dresser, beautiful bike, limited. And he's got the same issue now, right? He wants to sell his bike. And we don't want strangers riding the bike and all this other stuff. So I didn't, and I can't ride. So I didn't ride to the dealership. I was just driving by. So I told him, I don't have the bike here. And he's like, you got pictures? So I got pictures. I got a VIN. They start working up stuff and they throw numbers at me. And the next thing you know, I'm thinking, well, I don't have to have the, we'll come get the bike. We'll deliver your new one. We'll pick up your old one. You don't have to have it here. I'm like, all right. Then we started looking into my warranty. I still had 18 months of warranty left on the other bike. We rolled that one into this bike. I didn't need a down payment. 3 hours later, I got a new motorcycle. So I didn't anticipate that. Today they came and picked up my Street Glide. And just me moving it around in the garage to get it ready to go, so hard, man. This bike's so heavy. Yet I was still very sad to see it go. The guy, his name Mike, he comes in with this huge trailer. And he comes in the garage and I give him the title and the two sets of keys, key fobs. And he's like, hey, you want to get one last picture with it? And I'm like, no. He's like, for memories? I'm like, no, I got pictures of it. And as he's driving it down my driveway, I'm like, God damn, that's a beautiful motorcycle. But it was just way too big for me. At least I didn't feel comfortable riding it responsibly. So I look forward to getting the Heritage Classic. I think it's 2 weeks. They have to do a 100-point inspection on it or 110-point. It's certified. And then they'll trailer it to my house. And this guy's like, it's going to be 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, I don't have clearance from my back doctor anyways for about 2 weeks. So that's going on. Still haven't gotten our fence put in. I know I told Brandon about the dog story and me having to get a fence. Well, chased the guy down last week, texts and messages and calls, and he never responded. And I thought that guy took my money and ran to Mexico. But he did text me finally, like at the end of the week, and said he would let me know by the end of last week when he would be starting this week. No one started. It's now Wednesday. So, and it's raining. So I don't think I'm getting a fence this week. Hopefully it'll be in next week. And that'll be a big relief because my wife has been traumatized. For those of you who are in law enforcement, it's hard to traumatize us, most of us. We've seen a lot. We've done a lot. My poor wife had never been involved in anything so traumatic. So she's finally just being comfortable walking the dog now. So God bless her. I look forward to easing those anxieties when we get the fence up. I think that's it, man. I just really appreciate you tuning in, listening. I'm sorry if it's not what it normally is. And if I have to do more of these solo, I usually try and get a guest. So it's not as awkward or one-sided. I don't have anything else going on in the woodworking side. I did have a buddy of mine from my police department reach out today, and there's a golf outing for one of the other police departments, FOP Lodge, and they asked if I had any flags available. And since I'm not currently working in the shop, nor do I have a functioning CNC. I had to turn away the business. So I don't like doing that too often, but I'm going to try to say no more often. I would rather do it as a fun hobby instead of being chained to my table saw and forced to make stuff for people. But so Steve, actually, Mosley was going to sit in this week, but then he had a very important weekend and he was unable to join me. And then my buddy Don Can, who the dysfunctional woodworker who has sat in before, Don was set to come and join me today as a last minute. And if you listen to his guest appearance on the show last year, at the end of the year, Don suffers from a nerve disorder. And he, right when he was ready to join me, he had some severe flare-ups. So he was unable to join me. So I just want to say thanks to Don for wanting to jump in. I appreciate that. But for you guys listening, please give me some feedback. You can DM me at Morazzo Woodworking on Instagram or the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast on Instagram, or email me at the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast at gmail.com. Please let me know if this was a one-off and I should never do this again. Or, yeah, Mike, it's fine. Just come with more and don't wait a half a year to read 25 names of officers who have fallen in a line of duty. And maybe I would like to do this thing where we do a live show on Twitch, and there is a way to even take calls. So this thing can grow more. I want to make sure we continue putting out content weekly like we had been doing. I even went back and tried to look at some of our, or re-release some of our favorite episodes. I thought on my podcast platform website thing that I'd be able to download whatever I've uploaded, because some of my files are missing, maybe on my old computer. So that's not the case. You can't download episodes you've posted. So because I was going to do some of my favorite episodes, if we can't record, as fill-in. So I'll continue to work on that end, see if I can't retrieve some of those. And I just want to say thank you to our sponsor once again, surfprepsanding.com. They have fantastic stuff. So whatever your sanding needs are, be it sanders or paper or lights, check out surfprepsanding.com. And thanks to you guys for listening. I want to say thank you for sticking with me, and I greatly appreciate it. And we will check in with you next week, either with another guest or with Brandon, who might be back from training. Peace and scene.